What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Whiskey Web and Whatnot with your hosts, Billy and Billy.
Just trying to throw me off all the time. Well, your hosts are actually Robbie the Wagner and Charles William Carpenter III, known in the hood as Charlie Three Fingers.
Oh, because he lost some fingers?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
All right, we have a guest today, Clark Sell. What's going on, Clark?
I'm doing good. How about you two?
Doing good. Superb. Doing good.
It does make me wonder, if you take the glasses off, then what do we call you?
Blind?
Oh. I mean, you did like Superman a Clark reference. Kent?
Yes, there you go. See?
No, I knew that's where it was going, but.
Yeah, I don't make original jokes. So sorry. That's an intro to that.
I didn't have the glasses till a few short years ago, and it has ramped up relatively quick. So,
yeah, you know, it happens.
Sucky problems to have.
Yeah. Well, before we get too dark on that, do you want to tell everyone who you are and what you do?
I am the founder of a little conference called That Conference. I'm also the founder of a software shop that we call Unspecified. And if you can't guess by the names, we like to create names that nobody has any idea why they exist or what they do. Husband, father, got two teenage kids, write a bunch of code, you know, wrench on cars when I can. Nice. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll come back to that, I imagine.
We go wherever you want. Yeah. Soccer fields, cars.
Ooh, okay.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
It's possible. Wrenching on cars and soccer fields, although I don't put on my boots myself lately. I'm still very much into that. So, but I guess as we start the path here, Robbie, you want me to talk about the whiskey that you and I are going to try here?
Yes. Yeah. Clark will not be drinking. We will talk more about why later, perhaps if he wants to get into it, but we're just going to do some whiskey real quick and we'll try to make it short.
Yeah.
I will happily share and live through you.
Vicariously through my liver, which is probably deteriorating by the day. Today we're having Early Times, which is interesting to me because I feel like it's really spruced up as a brand. But it is the 100 proof bottled in bond, a mash bill of 79% corn, 11% rye, and 10% barley. And it is not age statement. It's not age stated, but at least 4 years, because that's the whole whiskey thing. And we'll kind of go with there. Mm.
Yeah, to me it smells like if you just literally took an entire ear of corn and put it in this bottle.
Mm.
Like, it's not very complex. So far.
Well, it can't be like mellow corn, though. That stuff is the most corn mixed with alcohol as humanly possible, I think. I mean, it's in the name, so. So we'll try and like give you some descriptors. And
let me try to be smarter about that. Let's see.
Yeah. Corn syrup? I'm not getting heavy corn. I don't get smell, to be honest.
I don't get much from it is kind of what I mean. Is it like it smells like whiskey? It doesn't really have flavor.
How do they give you a show about whiskey? It's just ridiculous.
I'm usually better about this. That's what I'm like. Are you smelling anything? Because I'm really not.
Mm. You've got to really stop drinking on the job. Yes, a little bit. I'm getting kind of like a tobacco leaf, you know, a little bit of that.
What's the level of apricot on this one?
Dried apricot in there. No, I'm not getting much sweetness for me.
Actually, the flavor has a little apricot.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. Did you read some notes ahead of time?
No.
The tobacco leaf is actually just the ash left over from them dumping the corn on the side of the road for the still.
Whatever it collected together and they put that. Ooh, that's got a little bit of kind of a strange aftertaste for me, though. Like at first, it had a little bit of sweetness. And it does have a bit of almost like...
It feels young and medicinal to me.
A gasoline at the end.
Yes.
A little gasoline. Like,
they can you're
spruce
not missing
up the branding.
Here,
I think this is cheap shit. I don't know what Robbie sent me, but...
Well, that was the point, is to have a diverse... You don't have to buy good ones all the time.
No, I agree with that. I don't know what the price point was, but it
not
was,
high.
It, was it more than a punch in the dick? Because that seems like too much still.
Was it in a plastic bottle?
No, it wasn't.
No,
actually.
They've upgraded their branding.
I feel like that it used to be.
Which I guess we should show.
Yeah. The branding looks decent.
It looks good now.
Yeah. No, I like how they zhuzhed all of that up. I don't know what the price point is. Well, so we'll quickly go through then our rating system, 0 to 8 tentacles, 0 is shit. Maybe this is it. 4, middle of the road. 8, amazing. Clear the shelves. Let's go with it, Robert. I've got to keep drinking.
I'm going to give it a 2.
It gets better.
It's not great. No. I've had worse, though. I think maybe 2 is... Have we done lower than a 2? So I'll give it a 3, because I've had worse. Well, we'll say 3.
Well, I'm going to go with a 2, then.
Okay, I'll say 2.
It's not great.
You
got a weird aftertaste, and it started to... I don't know.
I'm still going to drink it, though.
What would be worse? What would you consider worse?
Something in a plastic bottle, for sure.
What were the ones that we thought? Oh, no, the Derringer was definitely worse.
That was pretty recently. Bad. That was very expensive. That helped make it worse, too. It was at least $100.
Yeah. And so we
had
got
like
this
a fancy
one.
Bottle with like this.
It had this gun cork, like the Derringer gun that like goes. It was absurd. And like that's why I bought it, because it was ridiculous. And it was terrible. One of the worst ones I've ever had.
Yeah, so like that was pretty low down there. I think that was like a 1 or something. It's like they got a 1 because the packaging was interesting. Yeah, so like if you bought whiskey at a gas station, I think that would be worse, right? Like, well, I can't think of branding offhand, but that like would definitely be worse than this. And so this has, but I mean, if you paid $30 for this and then you could buy something like Buffalo Trace for $25, which would be, you know, you could sip that without being embarrassed or, you know, not disliking it, this is much worse than that. And so I feel bad comparatively. So I don't know. Not recommended, folks. So at least we can move on beyond that.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have my trusty... This episode is sponsored by Diet Coke because it got that shit out of my mouth.
Oh, God.
Anyway, let's talk about tech and conferences and fun things.
Well, should we do some hot takes?
Yeah, definitely start with hot takes.
Okay. Yeah, so these are not necessarily that hot anymore, but this is all the shit that people complain about on Twitter and like to fight about. So for TypeScript, inferred types or explicit types?
You're asking me?
Oh, yeah.
I don't do TypeScript, so how about that? Mm.
Boom, no types. Okay. Fuck TypeScript, that's what Clark
says.
There
you go. Fair.
Tailwind or vanilla CSS?
They both have places. I mean, we use Tailwind, gets the job done. We're a small place, so.
Efficient tools are good.
Yeah.
This is not so hot so far.
I'm currently digging open props. It's something I've been looking at and playing around with. It's an interesting take.
I'm not familiar with that.
Mm-mm. Is that a CSS thing?
Yeah, they use CSS variables to kind of run the system. So it's pretty cool. It's worth a look.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Simple. What about Git Rebase or Git Merge?
Rebase.
Yeah, there's a right answer.
Yeah.
Although I don't know what was said today at whatever GitHub Universe or whatever shit's going on, but they said something about refounded with Copilot, something that's got everybody all up in arms. Ooh. I don't really know what that means, but
the production people for this show did not give us good updated notes
about GitHub Universe. And then I like remember, and then I don't care anymore.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was like, oh, somebody's pissy. Okay, cool.
I mean, there's interesting things, and I'll read it at some point. I guess we don't need to be top of mind around that, but. So then was GraphQL a mistake?
I happen to really like it, and I don't really give a shit what anybody says about it. So we have a very large GraphQL API for our platform. It's federated. It's cached. It works.
You're doing all of the things. I mean, federation and caching. Redis caching or another?
A company called Stellate.
Oh, nice.
So. Very cool. I know it's gotten a whole bunch of shit the last couple of weeks, and I don't know. I'm too old to give a shit about all these petty little arguments that go online.
But they're fun, right?
why I think they're funny.
I mean, it's worked really well for us. Part is we've got a huge API. We know how to get to it. It's documented. Could it be better? Sure. So could our web code. So,
yeah.
I mean,
that's fair.
The shit runs, and I'm not saving babies. So it's cool.
Wait, why aren't you saving babies? Why are you killing babies? You heard it here.
I did a year on a healthcare project that was a class 2 medical device and was responsible for the architecture and everything. I would never want to live that life ever again.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, we had a nurse on staff and a doctor, and they would bring down pictures of who was going to use the device and this and that. Like, it was hell. It was absolute hell. So
yeah,
like this is grandma and grandma's grandchild, and they're both using this, and you're like, I won't go to bed tonight.
But also, fuck.
Yeah, my unit test coverage is not good enough for this.
Dude, we had so much unit test coverage. So all the between the unit tests, and we designed the system that would test. I called it through the glass because it had to interact like a doctor. Somebody would interact with it on the screen. So we had to play through all the things. We had so many tests that the FDA, they were like, I don't know how you expect us to validate this. I'm like, well, that's why we wrote the test, because you actually can't test this thing the way you think you can. Mm. And so you take something with like, you know, maybe a section on a form that's got 8 radio buttons. The permutations of those radio buttons are in the thousands. Like, it's a crazy scenario. Then per language and this and that. I'm like, you all can't test this shit. You have no idea what you're doing. So glad that's over.
All right. Chuck wanted me to add this one. He wants to know why you... No, don't do that.
Oh, do it. Let's go. Oh, I want to know now.
Just don't blame me. That's bullshit.
Okay. Well, I know it's all like probably automated, so it's all kind of silly, but he wants to know why you like me more than him. Like all the posts from that conf are about me and the one being the podcast.
That's real simple, because it came after all of that was done. So let me just take a note to get Chuck added in.
I was going to say just because he hadn't really met me. And then clearly there would be a delineation between
I assumed it was automated based on like the people who submitted the talks and whatever. And like it would just put, it's not a slight against you, John.
No, it's not at all.
Robbie working behind the scenes, talking to you to ask you to pump him up because I talked more than him when we interviewed Jack Reesider.
And well, when we interview everyone, you talk more than me.
I got a lot to say. Okay.
So here's where the things get hard, right? We go through all this session selection and the peoples, and we make the cards for everybody and the AIs, and we do all this stuff, and we generate, I don't know, 400, 500, 600 posts, get that shit queued up, scheduled, out the door, and then some changes. Because it inevitably always changes. And like, I didn't pay a designer to have a 2-person card. Right. So that means I have to go do that. Right.
Right.
And there's only so much time in the day. So I took a note to fix it, but I'm not entirely sure if I will, but I will try.
That's fair. Enough.
I'll take that. Just a comment onto the process, and that Robbie didn't purposely create bias here is all I need. That's part of the dynamic of this show.
It's definitely a hard thing when you get, you know, 125 speakers, 150 speakers, and it's the moving parts are just, you know, there's a lot of them.
Well, I just conversely want to tell you that my family and I are excited. So
God bless. I will try to pimp you more. Sorry, I haven't.
No, it's fine. We weren't actually upset. We were just busting your balls on that.
No, I love
that's
it.
That's a funny question. To ask,
so. There's the only people that don't get pimped are the ones who will not submit a picture.
Hmm.
So,
well, that's fair. That's an interesting thing to not submit a picture, but then
if you're going to be live on stage and people see you, then just submit a picture, right?
Yeah, like, there's no anonymity.
You're public. Like, why are you trying to hide? Like, there people are going to see you.
Yeah. Just change your name, Primogen. You see his face.
I mean,
most people don't know his name.
I don't care what you call yourself. Yeah. But no picture. Even if it's AI generated, no picture, no go. Can't do it.
That's fair.
A hard line. Go with it. I think that makes
sense. You want to do this next one, Chuck?
Strong feelings on this. Bring it back in. Dude, you have strong feelings on this?
No,
I do have strong feelings on this. But I bet Clark doesn't. Being in between Chicago and Milwaukee, right? Like, so is Chicago style pizza actually pie or pizza?
Oh, shit.
Now I put you on the spot.
I mean, if you called it a pie, it would be a deep dish. And if you called it pizza, it'd be not a deep dish.
I'm going pie. Mm. I say it's a pie.
So.
Yeah. It's pie with pizza ingredients.
I mean.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I think it's tasty as a pie.
It is a gluttonous, wonderful thing.
It's a real commitment.
It is a real commitment.
Yeah, the whole thing. If you go get like a legit one, I mean, it takes a long time to make. There's a whole process involved there. You've like really committed yourself. You're not going in, you grab a slice, whatever else. Like, Napolitana pizza, they make that in like less than 2 minutes.
2 minutes, yeah.
Yeah,
because it's 900 plus degrees, so you can't leave it in there more than 2 minutes.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. There's 900 pounds of cheese. On a pie.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think Detroit style is the low key winner.
Ooh. I mean, I do like it.
I do like a Detroit. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you're talking square pan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Cheese crust, all of that. Butter cheese crust. I mean, immediate heart attack, but also delicious.
Yep.
So, you know, everything's a trade off.
True.
All right, so let's dive more into that conf. Just tell us about, like, what is it? What made you want to start it? You know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, it started in 2010. Our first event was in 2012. The intent was to try to get all of the nerds together across all walks of life. So since I live between Chicago and Milwaukee, and if you just look at the upper Midwest, you got Chicago, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Madison, the Twin Cities, Iowa, because Iowa's just a city, right? Just one big cornfield.
Basically.
And then within each of those cities, right, you got your factions of the .NET people, the Java people, the database nerds, whatever. And the goal was to try to have a polyglot conference for everybody and their families. So we run two tracks, a family track and a professional track. And the family track's about giving, creating exposure for kids and giving them an opportunity to speak and learn about tech, get to see their parents in a new light. Because obviously we make ones and zeros, which aren't really sexy to point at. You're like, hey, I made a website. And your kid's like, so what? And then on the professional side, you know, I think a lot about engagement and, you know, what's the kind of the context to the conversation, because especially today, like, you can get all the shit online. So what is it that you're really trying to learn? And you're trying to create a network. You're trying to grow, you know, on the softer side of things that you, you know, need to talk to somebody else and go, oh, look, you're in the same boat I am. So tech's kind of the thing that joins us. And then we do it we host the whole thing at a water park in both places, in Texas and in Wisconsin. So you both are coming to our third version of Texas, which is I'll call it a fledgling child that is, you know, growing at the time of a pandemic. So that's been interesting. But that versus Wisconsin, they're both different. They're both in the same spirit, but also very different. So that's been kind of fun to see happen.
Yeah, that was... Sorry, go ahead, Chuck.
No, you I'm going to get written out of something else, Robbie, if I interrupt you.
Follow-up questions was like, you know, what's the difference? I think you're also trying to add some more locations too, right? Of like, you know, why should someone go to one versus the other? Or like, you know, are they similar?
I did mention that to you, Robbie, didn't I? I mean, what we're trying to do needs resources, right? AKA money. And that happens at the scale we're trying to have the impact. One event really isn't enough because as you guys know, like as your audience grows, your bandwidth costs go up, right? Mm-hmm. So our kind of biggest challenge has been, you know, in 2019, we had almost 1,800 folks in Wisconsin. And then in 2020, we had zero.
Right.
And it was like starting all over, but we were already this kind of large behemoth, if you will. And so that's been a challenge to come back from. The Texas plans started probably in 2017, right? So there was a pretty long ramp up time. And there are conversations about another place that is close to somebody who's here. But, you know, until Texas works or doesn't work, and, you know, that's kind of to be determined. You know, for a team of a few, right? Most people think we have a team of 50, but there's a team of 3. So,
That's a lot of work.
4.
That's a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like, I don't know. You know, we're trying to do what a big company would do, but in the flavor of people who are passionate about the community and growing people. So have good food, have good times, learn a little bit, you know, everybody win, do it at a nice place. But all of that comes at a cost, right? It's it's expensive. So
yeah,
that's why reInvent or Microsoft's thing or this thing, it costs $3,500 because this shit's expensive.
For like, sure.
It's really fucking expensive.
The more people who want to be there, the more it costs. You know, that's the interesting thing oppositionally to something like AWS, right? There's been a lot of discussion around like it's an obvious business of scale because the bigger the scale, the cheaper things tend to get. And that's why AWS is able to like flow that down. But
only
like,
ones that are profitable.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that too. Yeah.
Right. And like, let's be honest, like right now for us, it's really hard. Right. We lost a lot through the pandemic. There's all these tech layoffs going on, people pulling back budgets, people not, you know, companies going on not investing in these things. And I think I think they're swinging too hard the other direction and it's going to cause other issues. And in the meantime, what's falling out? User groups, conferences, like the kind of backbone of things that have made our industry pretty great.
Yeah.
Now, we've also had this segment of like 4 years where you could arguably say there are people who came out of college or were new to market and have never even been to anything with community. Like they don't even know that it exists.
Yeah.
And that's scary too, right? Mm-hmm. Like think about all the shit that happens online. We don't really have, I mean, I guess we have news, but like somebody asked the other day, like, well, where do you get your information from? And there's just a lot of people. It's like from work. And for me, that's like scary. Yeah. Like that's maybe the wrong echo chamber for some. So,
yeah, that's an interesting thing and a point that you bring up around like the scaling back and like the pendulum swinging the other way in terms of, I mean, just money, let's just say.
Yeah.
Wide cast of money. I mean, obviously we've run an agency, you run an agency along with the conference itself, and you've probably seen those things on both ends. I mean, there's a real change in terms of value and investment around all of those things, like perceived value and investment around those things.
Yeah. And the long game is gone. Like when I talk to sponsors, all they want to know is, do you have over 1,000 people? How much per head? And what's the return? All the other stuff that we used to talk about has like, and I'm sweeping broad strokes. It's not every sponsor. There are some who are absolutely fantastic, But a lot of the conversation for me is ending at the, do you have 1,000? Because it's like, well, no, but nobody really does. Like, we're all building back up to that. And you can swing numbers one way, the other way, but they're just, it's like some are just trying to play catch up and they can only justify a certain thing, but then they don't want to do the work. So they want you to give your email list. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like it's a really weird place. And I understand return on investment and the spend and all that. But if you're gonna be involved in the community aspect of it, that's not a transaction. That's something that you put into and you continue to show up. Otherwise, you lose that kind of goodwill with people, and then it's worse. So
yeah, it's a frustrating time because like we went to Render ATL and like AWS had a huge contingent of people there, like at least 20 or 30 representatives. Meanwhile, I'm working for Amazon and I was like, can you guys like pay for me to go to this? And they were like, oh, fuck no. And I was like, what? You guys are sponsoring the shit out of this conference. Like, where is, I don't understand. And it's like, that's some of the disconnect. It's just like, you have to be with the right person in the right group and they can magically get money. But like, otherwise you're screwed. And I don't understand, like, because there's plenty of money at these bigger companies still. Like, yes, they're having layoffs and whatever, but it sucks.
Not to throw Microsoft under the bus, but when 2020 came, zilch, zero, out, not talking to anybody, not interested. And that's a company, for everybody, I worked there almost 10 years. You know, they're a pretty good example of like swinging this pendulum, like doing wrong by the community, coming back to the community, doing wrong by the community, coming back to the community. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long those kind of cuts can last before somebody's like, fuck off. Like, I'm done dealing with this shit with you.
Microsoft specifically has us cornered because they own GitHub, NPM, everything I use for leisure, like Xbox. I can't avoid Microsoft.
Hey, as a shareholder, like, that's great because I need it to go up a little bit more. But it's just interesting times in tech. And I think we're on the forefront of it really, really changing pretty. I think it's going to change a lot. I think the next 10 years will not look like the last 30.
Yeah, I think I agree with that 100%. I think that it's not going to be completely commoditized as the impressions are being made around that. But I also think that the next level of, America doesn't make things per se physically anymore, right?
Yep.
Like we had a production population, like pre-industrial revolution, it was farming based. Post-industrial revolution, it was mechanical and masonry and makers of all kinds. And I think that we're looking at the next generation of makers. But unfortunately, what that means is that it's marginalized more than it has been, right? Like, so there's a ton of demand needed in the world global economy.
Yep.
And we're not meeting it to the degree. And obviously, the way that we've been able to command salaries, like the way that people are able to get to six-figure salaries in 3 to 5 years at worst,
or zero
compared to what I had to deal with, right? I think I was like 12 years into my career before I hit 100 or something like that. It's like ridiculous. But comparatively, right?
Yep.
And there's a lot of other things to go with it, but I think that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at this isn't a career path. It's just not a path to wealth like it used to be.
So I'm not going to spit this out kind of all logically, so bear with me, but I want to hit on a couple points. So salary, we have been normalized across the globe. So as we have all gotten more connected, and I think you see this more in tech because we typically kind of work globally, if you will.
Yeah.
But you've watched India and China and all those rates go up, and then you've seen our rates go down. And so you look at some of the commodity-based work, whatever that means, because there's a lot of context in that. You know, are you going to pay $125 an hour for somebody to sling some pretty simple shit? Or are you going to pay $60 from somebody from South America? Well,
yeah.
Now you can get developers kind of in time zones. So you've taken some of that geographic kind of shit out of the way. But the tools have gotten better that you also have to say, what's AI going to do? Right? What's the real value in what you're doing as the creative human who builds the thing versus punching buttons on a screen, which now feels more like a trade? Now, the irony in all this is everybody's getting laid off and everybody needs people. And the industry as a whole is not, if you will, breeding more IT software engineers. Like, the work is outpacing kind of the demand for work is outpacing it, yet nobody can find a job.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, where's the imbalance of, is it a communication gap? Is it like, did the recruiters, are they just saying so much filth that like the good people aren't getting through? Like what's going on? Because the work is out there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the pay. It's like, the salaries have gone way, maybe not down, but like you used to be able to have exponential.
They've definitely gone down a percentage.
But like you used to be able to have like crazy money for like basically no experience. You could be like, I'm a senior dev and like I've worked on an app one time, so I must be senior or principal level and like I can make, you know, 200,000 plus from doing nothing. And then it's like, now you can't do that. And people are like, well, I'm making that before, so I can't accept less than that. So that's why they can't find a job, is they don't want to accept that they were being paid too much before.
I'm seeing consulting gigs that are looking for senior level people at $55 an hour. And I'm going, you're high. Like, that's not enough. Like, you're asking for 20 years of experience at $55. I'm sorry.
Who's going to tell the AI that it's wrong? Who's going to... a real question. Who's going to tell the AI that it's wrong? Who's going to lead a team of, you know, four offshore, nearshore devs? And I don't want to like shit on... Because I've definitely worked with nearshore individuals that are very highly skilled.
Yep.
Again, so then you're dealing with rates, but then you have communication and soft skills and other things. So cultural variances that can apply there. I think that's 100% what's happening. It's not that there isn't work. It's not that there isn't demand. I think there's a force multiplier pushing the salary requirements and the expectations and the barrier to entry down. And maybe recruiters are asked to like say, we're going to really scale up our hiring process. We want like 5% of what made it through before to make it through now, because we need leaders, not managers and whatever else, but we just need a top level to kind of guide this next phase.
I think there's another factor here too, which seems to be, I don't know, I kind of like pushing it, which is this whole work from home, work in the office thing. Yeah. And again, pendulum swung too far. As somebody who's been working out of his house since 2005, I'm like, y'all are idiots. Stop pushing, because you're going to ruin it and then you ain't going to get it again. And here we go. It's like, I won't go into the office. And I'm like, I don't know an engineering project that I've been on. When you get in the shit, like, yes, we can do it online, but nothing's going to replace sitting down at a table where everybody's banging shit out on a whiteboard.
Fly out, war room, some stuff. Yeah. And sometimes that just really works for sure.
And so there's this, like, you have to have a little bit of kind of grace to say, let's go. It's okay. We all need to figure out what does the new kind of work model look like now that the tools are better.
Yeah. But your line in the sand is a little too hard. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, RTO is such bullshit. Because it's like, we were just talking about this in our last podcast. It was like, you know, people forcing you to come into the office when you don't work with anyone there is stupid.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I totally agree that if the people you're working with are in that office and, like, you can collaborate with them in real life, that you're going to have a good experience.
It's going to get better. Like, because some people don't turn on cameras. Some people don't engage in meetings because of personality types. That is an interesting thing, is that, like, also, we have been in the age of engineers as celebrities and engineers as online personality types, like developing that aspect of their career. And that's great for a lot of people, but that's not everyone. I remember people in hoodies eating Funyuns, sitting in a corner and being like, read the fucking manual. And that made me better. That made me better. In fact,
and let's be clear, there's not that many celebrities, you know, proportionally to everybody else that's out there. In fact, most people aren't on the Twitters or X's or whatever the fuck it's called these days.
Yeah, fuck that.
I had this conversation with James Quick a few times. Is like, what are you online versus what are you at a conference, right? Because you have, you know, I invite you or you come and speak. Just because you're James Quick doesn't necessarily mean you sell tickets, because people are going to, they can get your shit, thumb through it and watch it, you know, at home. Right, so now you have to ask, like, what's the in-person experience, kind of coming back to the conference? Like, I think about that a lot, because we can get everything online, right? Mm. So then why get together, right? And that's just like at work. Like, why get together? What high-velocity things can we get done when we're physically together that you can't do easily online? Obviously, we could have all flown together and put our microphones and sat around a table. Would that be better? Arguably, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. We like the in-person setups and stuff. And that's what... So, Robbie, what are you bringing to that conference as the star of Whiskey Web and whatnot? Like, what is that? What's different there?
What's different in person than online? Mm-hmm. I will be much less adamant about how much I hate React in person.
Wait a minute. Did I find somebody else who hates React? Because I don't care for it.
I hate React, man. Have you talked to... Oh, shit. I forgot his name.
Is there a support group for us?
Who is the guy we had Ember on, Chuck? Conf. Yeah, it is. There is one.
Who is, it's called Ember. Who's the guy that wrote the blog post about, like, React only being good at being popular?
Oh, gosh.
Josh Collinsworth. Yeah,
yes,
there we go.
Yes, that's a great one.
Yeah. I loved that, because when he put that out, I was like... That I feel seen. Like, I thought you just had to like React because, like, everyone loved it.
And I feel like I get punched by a donkey every time I use that shit. So, we're in Svelte land, so, like, there you that's go. Our choice. I think
Guillermo owns you either way, so whatever.
Yeah. Well, I the whole server action thing was just hilarious to me. Because it's been in Svelte for a while, and Rich Harris has talked about it and whatnot for like a year. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's also been in like Django and Ruby on Rails.
Yeah, like it's not new.
No.
We're just going to all write PHP again.
Well, I mean, that's just it. It's just we're just bridging the gap for everyone that has gone through all of this to learn React for the web. We just want to make JavaScript accessible on the server. And now your skills translate. So perfect. Whatever.
Yeah.
I've been around long enough that it's like, whatever. They're just characters that make computers do things. I don't really give a shit. Like, let's just pick one that's cool that we all like. Yeah.
So is HTML a programming language?
I was just going to say
that. This is a markup.
Oh.
Language.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the thing.
Still
is like,
markup.
Did you ever use LaTeX? You know what I'm talking about? It's like it's spelled latex, but they call it LaTeX for whatever reason. And it's
I think
just
you know the reasons.
They if you look
the AIs,
if you Google,
they love them.
If you Google it, it's like it's a programming language, but all it does is build PDFs, which is the same fucking thing as HTML. Like, you know. So I don't know. Like I think you can do a lot with HTML.
If there's no if else, it's not a programming language.
Well, okay. Okay. That's
how you like that.
Is that the criteria?
I just say there's no control flow by any stretch. So
right.
That's
right.
True. That's true.
That too.
Yeah.
Well, that goes to CSS. Is it a programming language because it does math?
Look, nobody knows what CSS is and nobody can get it right.
Yeah. Does CSS need trigonometry? Probably not.
You need those corners to be perfect.
I wanna lay out my images like this.
I want my corners to be as perfect all the way down. Yes.
That is a problem. The border radius nested. Yeah. That is, that's a huge problem.
I know, it's got to match, and it takes complex math.
Well, it doesn't match. Yeah, it's different, but it visually matches.
Yes, okay. That's all we care about.
So here's an interesting thing. Like, this is a scenario where I think AI would do really well, because we don't care. Like, hey, AI, go write me the regular expression that does this stupid thing. And great, now I'll go write the test to make sure it does what it is, because we all, none of us know what regex is, and we all hate it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. No one does. 100%. That was probably one of the first things I ever used ChatGPT to do, is like, just give me some regex for this, like, because I'm done.
Yeah. I mean, I could think about the possibilities. I mean, we're seeing some of it to where you can say, I need these things, or I need it to look, you know, whatever, I need the border radiuses to match inside outside for the nested thing, right? That's a great, pump that code out so that I can figure out what I need to go do with it. Exactly. I ain't got time for that.
Yeah. I love every time a 100 startups get destroyed by OpenAI features, because because anything you thought of early days that you thought was going to, like, you already got to profit on NFTs and whatever other stupid bullshit. So the fact that you don't get to do it this time, and that the possibilities you haven't considered and you have to think about for a little while, I like that.
Yeah.
Because
everyone has to level up now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a few stupid NFTs because of this bullshit. So I don't want any more early days.
You have a lot of stupid cryptocurrency. That I
wouldn't say a lot. Yeah. I mean, I have some.
Well, I have a lot.
I have a lot in that the few times I listened to you and bought some. Yeah. Yes.
Listen, I have 650 million Shiba Inu. So
yeah. Did you get in on a Doge? You missed the Doge train?
No, I got a few. And then, I didn't have a risk tolerance. So I made a little money when, like, Elon pumped it. And I was like, that's probably good enough for me.
I was talking about AI to a bunch of business owners last week, and I did the classic kind of open things up with Pixar version of Clark talking, you know, it was all text generated, whatnot. And they were like, oh yeah, yeah. And so then I was explaining, you know, machine learning, and I brought up the Google reCAPTCHA example, and I'm like, you notice anything that's kind of similar about reCAPTCHA? You know, how you're looking for crosswalks and stoplights and people and this and that. I'm like, yeah, that's a data set they've been using to train cars. You all did this. It's been around for years. The room was just like pitch quiet. You could hear a pin drop in a carpet. I was like, now you're paying attention.
Right? Yeah, you don't know. Yeah. You are. Yeah, you're the input.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something, it has to feed off data. That's the big thing. So. Yep.
Yeah, there was a smart one that was coming up for, like, basically, like, confirming text translation or something, but it was a reCAPTCHA, and you would be like, it would be like a snippet from a book, and you'd repeat it, and you'd be like, great, we got it right. Okay, good.
Yep. It's everywhere.
For sure. So aside from collecting melon hats, what else do you do? Like, what are hobbies that are non-tech? Recognize it, because Robbie and I love those hats, too.
Yeah, we have that same hat.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. We should have worn that. I should have.
Had I known that, I didn't get any.
We spent a lot of time soccer. So two teenagers both play in high school, both play club. So that's kind of a 13 months out of the year. That's
travel,
what it feels
teams,
like.
All that fun stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
What positions?
We have defenders. So
nice.
One is a center back. My daughter's a center back, and my son has moved from center to outside back. And he likes being able to run it up the field and kind of set up the play. So we spend a lot of time doing that. I used to wrench on cars. Still do when I have a chance. I got a couple old rust buckets that I like
driving. What kind of cars?
I have a 68 Camaro and a 70 Camaro. And the 70 is in pieces. Mm-hmm. And the 68's running, driving.
So the 68 would have, like, the Roadhouse, like, closed lights on it, or no?
If you had that option.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, that would be Roadhouse? 69. That'd be 69. See,
I thought it was a one-year thing. Yeah. I couldn't remember exactly. But do you remember that movie?
They did it for 1 year.
Patrick Swayze?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And that was what was cool. He bought this car specifically because he's a bouncer for bars and he turns them around. So he got this car where the headlights closed so they couldn't smash his headlights out.
Yep. Oh, that's smart.
69.
Ah, there you go. So yeah, you got like, that's right. I guess you need a 69.
No. No, it's a lot of fun. I wish I had more time.
We all.
Yeah.
So do your kids follow any international teams?
Yes.
Okay. You have to, this is a thing.
My son. Which ones matter?
It does matter to me.
Oh, I'm losing a name. I want to say.
Hopefully Man City.
I think it's Manchester City. I
got Fuck that. You, Robbie. Not Clark, but you know the trigger. But you know these kids these days.
There's,
you know,
there's United and City.
Yeah. So, yeah. So City. There's baby blue and there's red. Yeah,
it's City.
But Manchester is red and everybody knows it. So.
Yeah, we like just picking up on the tournaments and watching each of the different leagues. There's not really a kind of hard fast. My son really likes Man City, but I'm not sure how he got there.
He's a Jamie Tartt fan.
There's an obscure reference. Sete. Sete. Dada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen him in other stuff, by the way? Sorry to derail this, but.
No.
No, it's great.
What? He was in some Amazon show about some lady that wakes up at. Yeah. No. No, it was good. I forget the name. I'll get it to you. But like, it's about waking up at like. The Devil's Hour, I think is what it was called, something like that. So they wake up at 3:33 every morning. Okay. Irrelevant, though. He's like the husband of like the lady that's the main character. And he has like a normal voice. He's just like, you can understand him. He's not like, a-da-ba-da-a-da-da. Like he's
I've got
like
to go poopa. That was the big thing. Poopa.
Yeah. What are we surrounded by? Poopa.
There was a TV show called American. It was about a football player.
Egg ball game or proper football?
Handball. It's in America. It's probably egg ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
America, something. Anyways, there's a black guy who's the kind of main character, and it's in Beverly Hills and, I don't know, Compton or something. So there's this kind of, there's two schools, whatever. Multiple seasons. Well, the black guy's straight up, like, perfect English accents, the whole nine. It's got it all down. What? Real life, the dude's British. Mm. So you see him in something else, and you're like, whoa.
What the hell?
Whoa, that didn't match. Yeah.
Did you notice the British are so good at doing American accents, and the inverse, not so much? Like, they sing in a very clear accent, and then oftentimes the actors and actresses do a great job, and I don't think the inverse is true.
I always thought that was interesting in House. Did you watch House?
Mm-hmm.
With Hugh Laurie being like super American.
Yeah.
And he is not.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, he's British.
They're trying to take over everything.
Have you watched his
They did that once, it didn't work out.
There's a newish show, I think, from HBO that has him as like a spaceship captain. I'm trying to remember what that's called. It'll come to me. But that's his whole thing on the show is he's like, he speaks British, he speaks American, like trying to be, and he like forgets. So like, he's trying to be this like polished captain and then like he lets British accents slip out and he's like, it's funny. Avenue 9? Let me see.
Why do you have all this time?
I watch a lot of shows, man.
Yeah. I just fall asleep.
Avenue 5. That's what it's called. Avenue 5.
I feel like I've heard of that, though.
It's good.
Okay. What's it on? Where can I find it?
HBO, I thought.
Let me look.
You mean Max?
Come on. Yes. Max.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so annoyed that they've, like, in the last few years, like, changed that twice. It was like HBO Go, HBO Max, now just Max. Like, why is it a whole new app? You're bad with this.
They are... I mean, I'm going to assume you two are a little younger than I am, but it's just interesting how cable TV and HBO and all these things have evolved into the epic shit show that it is today of you can't find what you want to watch on. You have no idea where this shit is at.
Like, you just end up paying Apple $2 to watch it. well, whatever
we
it
got,
is.
Yeah. we asked for an a la carte option from cable, and then we ended up paying four other services for what we want.
And cable is cheaper now.
I don't know. And now cable's cheaper. I don't know, Clark. So are you Gen X?
I am.
So am I.
Proud of it.
So I'm wondering, I was born in 77.
75. My birthday's coming up.
Nice. Well,
and I love all the like Gen X bullshit on TikTok. I think it's hilarious and it's fantastic.
What is TikTok?
Oh, you should check it out.
Yeah. It's what a clock does. I refuse. I'm not doing it. My brother's been like, he's into it and he's like been trying for years. And I'm like, no, I refuse. This is my line in the sand. But I'll take it.
Well,
do you have
kids?
Yes, 4 and 7.
Okay, so they're not quite on a social train yet.
Yeah.
So it's pop culture.
Yeah.
Like it's two things. It's Snapchat and it's TikTok. Right. They don't use SMS. Everything is through Snapchat. And on TikTok, my kids have, we've clearly been cohorted because they can search in TikTok and I cannot. They don't think about Google. Like, it is fascinating. They don't go to Google search. They go to TikTok. Yeah. And soon it'll
be AI.
That's
been a big problem because, like, there's a lot of, like, medical advice. And people will be like, oh, I have this problem. And doctors are like, no, you don't. Stop searching on TikTok for this problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. It is so crazy to compare the generations. Oof.
See, I got to stop them. I'm going to put up a pie hole and block that. I don't know. Probably nothing.
Sure.
Exactly. Until they get out of my network. And then
they'll VPN.
Oh, you want to hear a good one? So we have to, the kids VPN back to our house from school because school locks down everything. Oh. They can't get to this shit. Even that the teachers ask them to get to, they can't get to it on their network.
Oh, yeah.
So because the school is a fortress and they can't get a cellular signal in it, they're on their Wi-Fi, but then they VPN back to our house so that they can use our network.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. That's funny. But that sounds about right for like schools and government and being like, I don't understand. We lock it all down. We don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, watching them figure out AI is a disaster. I mean, they're I get it. They're like overly hypersensitive to cheating. But like my kid wrote a paper and then the AI and then did the grammar checking, whatnot. But then the AI said that most likely was written by AI because he cited some notations and this and that. He's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He's like, I wrote it. Yeah. The teacher's going to probably ding me. I'm like, okay, well, I'll go in there and we'll just talk to him. They don't know what they're doing.
It's a hard time. Yeah.
We're all trying to figure it out for sure.
Yeah.
We need the AI that tells you how to get around the AI. And
well,
you're good.
I mean, the teachers use the AI to tell you whether or not a human wrote it, except when the AIs get better.
Then you don't know.
It sounds like it's a human that wrote it. So
they can write a lot better than I can, to be honest. So
I use it all the time. It's a great first draft.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I was using ChatGPT the other day. We've been doing our, like, art for our episodes, just like using Dolly or whatever.
Yep.
And I was like, can you make me an image about like this? And it was like, well, I can't make images because I didn't figure out how to like tick the box for Dolly yet. I figured it out now. But
you're welcome,
it was like, here's like 15 paragraphs that you would tell an artist to like make this image. And I was like, oh my God, like this is so detailed about like, this is exactly what I want. So yeah, it's crazy like what it can come up with.
Have you not used Midjourney?
No.
Oh, it is scary. It's so fun. It is so fun. I mean, all of that stuff is right there. You just start sending it prompts and poof, here's your picture.
Yeah, because even the Dolly stuff is pretty good. Yeah. Like it's fun right off the bat.
They really like straws though. I keep being like, give me a picture of someone drinking whiskey, and it's like they're drinking it through a straw. And I'm like, no, no straw.
Oh, that's not what you happens. Do this without a straw, and then it gives you a different picture. It gives you a picture of only a straw.
Yeah, I wish it would let you just delete stuff from the, because it'll make the perfect one, but there'll be a straw. And I'm like, damn it. I know you're never going to give me that again. But
now you take that to Photoshop. See, there's the human interface of correcting things.
Yeah, we're not 100% there yet. Yeah.
Yep.
So can you not have, I haven't messed with dollies. Can you not refine that particular image? Because you can in Midjourney.
You can, but it won't change that same image. It uses the same prompt, but generates like a slightly different image and then takes the straw away. So I'm like, fuck, I wanted the one you've made me before.
You should look at Midjourney because you can totally do that. Yeah.
Okay. We will then. We will look
at that. As you start to refine it, like you pick an image, you can refine it, you could do some shit on it. It's, I mean, I'm sure that they're both pretty close, but I also think it's really weird that Midjourney you interact with it through Discord.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fine, but it seems like an odd user interface if you want it to catch fire. Hey.
Right.
Yeah. There's not a barrier
to entry. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't you use this app in Discord?
Yeah.
What's a Discord?
You're gonna find out.
All right, we have a few minutes left here, so I do want to give you a chance to plug all the that things, like where should people go to find out more and buy tickets and all these things.
ThatConference.com or ThatConference everywhere on the socials. Buy a ticket. January in Texas, Wisconsin in July.
Listen, if you want to go down some water slides with Robbie and I, buy a ticket.
Man, and our kids.
So for Wisconsin, the call for speakers will open January 1st. So anybody who's listening, if they're interested in potentially speaking, just go and we'll keep that open for 2 months.
January, awesome.
February, 2 months. So
do we get a cheese allowance if we go there?
There will be bacon. There will be bacon.
Okay. Hmm. I need cheese curds. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's some.
I'm just kidding.
It all depends on budget. But for you, I will make sure that there's cheese curds. Right.
Yes.
Chuck arrives in the cheese platter.
Fried cheese. Yeah. I will arrive in a cheese platter. Midjourney that. Me arriving in a cheese platter.
That could happen.
Okay. I'm sorry to anyone.
In Texas, you see we have a barbecue with brisket and proper Texas barbecue. And then in Wisconsin, we have a hog roast. So
nice.
I get all my meats through the year. I get beef and then pork. So it's good.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah, there you go. Cover all. That's the food pyramid that we grew up on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you're supposed to have 16 servings of grain a day or something.
Does whiskey count as one of those servings?
There's grain in whiskey, by the way.
It's not in fats or sweets, I don't think. So
listen.
Well, if it's in sweets, it's not a very good one.
No. Yeah. You know the Midwest. Yes, grains and whiskey and beer. Yeah, that's a food group. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, there's a great picture of like the drunkest towns in America, and it's just like Wisconsin, like the whole state.
It's just Wisconsin. It's just all the towns are there. Like,
and then you go to Wisconsin, you realize, yeah, probably. That's probably actually accurate.
That's fair.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to mention or plug before we end?
No. Check out that conference. Check out your local user groups. Go get involved. Yeah. Go to work.
We'll be there. Come hang out with us, drink whiskey.
Yeah.
Booyah.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you liked it, please subscribe, leave us some ratings and reviews, and we will catch you next time.
Boom, 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 boom.